We're on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and we are three lines down from the top of the Amud. Amale Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua LeRava. V'chi shachach echad min apnimis v'lo erav amai shtein asuros libatel hai bar pnimis libnei pnimis v'teise achitzona v'tishtere ba'adayu. Rav Huna asks, Rava, why is it that if the member of the Chatz HaPnimis forgot to contribute to the Eruv, in this case, Shtein Asuros, in other words, he's going to cause an Iser on the Chitzona because of his Drisas Regel, why is it that he cannot be Mevatel, not only Lahem, for the members of the Pnimis, and you're telling me because, okay, let's say he could be Mevatel for the Pnimis, but he still has Drisas Regel as far as the Chitzon is concerned, and you're applying the principle of Shmuel Ein Bitul Rishus Michotzer L'Chotzer, why not fix up the situation in the following way? Levatel Hai Bar Pnimis L'Bnei Pnimis. Let this individual who did not participate in the Eruv, he's in the Pnimis, in the inner courtyard, he can be Mevatel his Rishus to the other members of the Pnimis, and then the Chitzona could come and Tie Muteres Imam, and they will be all told Muteres, and even though Lo Bita La Chitzona Atzma, even though he was not Mevatel his Rishus to the Chitzona, it should be enough that he's Mevatel's Rishus to the Chatz HaPnimis. Once he's Mevatel's Rishus to the Chatz HaPnimis, now the only Dayorim in the Pnimis are the other, we'll call them the other Dayor, the other four Dayorim, whatever they are, and he no longer has rights of Drisas Regel to generate an Iser on the Chitzona. And Rav answers, Kiman, Kirav Eliezer, Diomar, Rabbi Eliezer holds Eino Tzorech Levatel Rishus L'chol Echad V'Echad. Your question is predicated on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that you don't have to be Mevatel your Rishus to everyone, and therefore you think that it's enough that you can be Mevatel your Rishus to the Pnimis. Kika imna, but what I said was l'rabbanan, according to the sheet of the rabbanan that argue with Rabbi Eliezer, the amidei hold tzorch levatel chol echad v'echad, which would mean that if we have a joint eruv between the pnimis and the chitzona, they're all considered one rishus, and now the bittel would have to be from the pnimis to the chitzona as well. It's not enough that he's mevatel his rishus to the bnei pnimis. He has to be Mevatel's Rishus to the Chitzona. And that he can't do, because Ein Bittel Rishus Michotzer L'Chotzer. From one Chotzer to the other Chotzer, he cannot be Mevatel your Rishus. We're going to start today with the question that Rav Chisda asked Rav Sheshes. First, the Gemara gives us a little bit of a background as to the relationship in terms of learning between Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes. They had a certain mutual admiration society. Rav Chisda, Rav Sheshes, ki pagei ba'adadi adadi, when they encountered one another, each one had a certain response. Each one was overwhelmed by fear. Rav Chisda, marta'on sif vase, his lips were shaking, Mimas noise de Rav Sheshes, because of Rav Sheshes' absolute expertise in Mishnayos, which means that Rav Sheshes knew all the Mishnayos, and Rav Chisda was afraid that anything he would say in Torah in their conversation, Rav Sheshes would quote a Mishnah somewhere, and he would ask him to explain that Mishnah. The Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes, from his perspective, Marta Kula Gufe, his entire body would shake, Mi Pilpule de Rav Chisda, because of Rav Chisda's Charifus, his sharpness, his pilpul, his dialectic, profound analysis, and any question that Rav Chisda would ask Rav Sheshes would know that the question was very profound, and he was very afraid of such a question. So Rav Chisda was afraid of Rav Sheshes because Rav Sheshes would ask him a kasha from a Mishnah, because Rav Sheshes was a total balabas. He was in total control over all the Mishnayos. He had them all in the palm of his hand. And Rav Sheshes, from his perspective, was reciprocally afraid of Rav Chisda, because anything Rav Sheshes would say in Torah, Rav Chisda would have a kasha, a very profound insight, because of his tremendous power of analysis, his depth of thought, and therefore Rav Chisda was a fearful person for Rav Sheshes. So mutually, they were afraid of each other. And that's just the background to the sugya that we're about to learn, which is a continuation of the previous sugya about Bnei HaChotzer that failed to make the Eruv, and the reason why they didn't make the Eruv Chatzeros is because, let's say, one person, or maybe all of them, failed to make the Eruv, but they could be Mavatu L'Rishus, and Bitu Rishus would be a substitute, a fallback position for Eruv, allowing someone in the Chotzer to carry from his house into the Chotzer. And the Gemara now quotes two different questions, sfeikos, that Rav Chisda asked from Rav Sheshes. Boy Mine, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, here's question number one. Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So you have two houses with the Rishus HaRabim in between. So the only way of getting across from one house to the other is by passing through Rishus HaRabim. There's no way that they can create an Eruv through a Rishus HaRabim, because an Eruv only works on an Issa Tiltul D'Rabbana, not on an Issa Tiltul D'Oraisa. To carry from your house into Rishus HaRabim is a Meleches Otzah D'Oraisa, so there's no possibility of an Eruv. However, Bo Nochrim V'Hikifum Mechitza B'Shabbos. So the Goyim built a Mechitza, one on one side of the Rishus HaRabim, between the two houses, and one on the other side of Rishus HaRabim between the two houses. So let's say the facade of each house, let's just throw out a number, is 10 amos wide. They took a mechitza, and they went down, they built a mechitza that would attach the two edges of the houses, one on a 90 degree angle from this 10 amos facade and the other from the 10 amos facade. So you have here a picture of what virtually is a chatzer now between the two houses, because it's completely surrounded by mechitzas. So you have the facade of one building, the facade of the other building on the other side, and now you have two mechitzas on the right and the left, which separate that area between the two batim from the Rishus HaRabim. Mao. Now, what do you mean by mahu? On one level, we know that a mechitza can be created even on Shabbos. In fact, we once discussed a possibility of creating a mechitza even b'mezid, even if you violate Shabbos. But certainly the goyim, if they put up the mechitza on Shabbos, that's a valid mechitza. So there's no doubt that on a doraisa level, the area now that's enclosed by four sides between the two batim is certainly a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore each one of the houses could carry out into that area. But on a Durabbanan level, when you have two batim that share one common area, that common area is called a Chotzer, they have to set up an Eruv Chatzeros. Now on Shabbos, it's impossible to set up an Eruv. But can they exercise the mechanism of Bitul Rishus? And Rav Chisda now is going to analyze this question. What are the two tzdadim in his suffix? Now, we had a machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan back on Daf Samach Vav regarding the case of two chatzeros that have an opening between them, and they didn't set up an Eruv chatzeros between the two chatzeros. Can the Bnei HaChatzer in one of one chatzer be mevatel l'rishus in the chatzer to the Bnei HaChatzer HaCheres, the other chatzer, in order to be matted tiltal from one chatzer to the other? Shmuel held Einam Yecholim Levatel Michatzer LeChatzer, and the reason for that is that since these chatzeros Einam Osro Zu Al Zu, meaning each chatzer is a separate independent entity, and these two chatzeros have the option of being Ma'ariv Erev Chatzeros, but it's Einam Osro Zu Al Zu, and therefore there's no bitul rishus from one chatzer to the other. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, held that even though Ein Osro Zu Al Zu, they can still create a bitul rishus, and the Bnei HaChatzeres could be mevatel this chatzer to that chatzer. Says Rav Chisda, Aliba demadi omar Ein bitul rishus michatzer lechatzer, according to Shmuel, that there's no such thing as a bitul rishus from one chatzer to the other. So that means it's impossible for the Bnei Chatzer of one Chatzer to vatel rishus to the Bnei Chatzer of a different Chatzer, which is contiguous and opens into that Chatzer. Lo tibayloch, I don't have any question. My suffix is not a suffix. Here too, there's no doubt that there's no possibility of being mevatel zeh lezeh. And now Rav Chisda applies the logic of a Kal Vachomer. Hashda, in a case of shtei Chatzer smucha zu zu, a classic case, not our case, is the boy la ruvim yesmotzi me'arvin. Erev Shabbos, they could have made an Erev Chatzeros between the two Chatzeros, and that would be matu tiltu from one Chatzer to the other. They could have done so. Nevertheless, Amrit, Shmuel holds, ein bitur rishus mi Chatzer l'Chatzer. Why? Because einom osrim zelze. Which means that Shmuel's principle was kol makom sha'osrim uma arvim mevatlim. So we need two conditions to be fulfilled. We need a possibility of an eruv plus osrim zelze. Then, and only then, is the bitul rishus. So in a case of two chatzeros, each one has its own exit into the rishus rabbi, and there's a pesach between the two chatzeros, it's ein chotzer achas oseres al chavrta. And since ein osrim zelze, each chotzer is viewed as a separate entity, and it can be matir its own chotzer through an eruv, but this, and they can create an eruv between the two chotzers, but einam yichom levatil zelze. Now, here in our case, where the nachrim set up the mechitzos on Shabbos, is hacha diboyle aruve meyesvo lo matzi me'arve. Now we have another chisara. Not only, just 1 second, yeah. Not only is on Erev Shabbos ein osrim zel zeh, right, because he had a reshus harabim between the two, so there's no osrim zel zeh, and number two, there was no possibility of an eruv. So if Shmuel holds that there's no bitul rishus michatzer lechatzer, in other words, bitul is only shayach in a case where there are osrim zelze in at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, and there was a possibility of being ma'ariv, and bitul rishus now will come as a substitute for eruv, an event that they didn't make an eruv, that's because you have both conditions. It's osrim zelze, and they could have made an eruv on Erev Shabbos. Here in our case, on Erev Shabbos, both of those elements are lacking. Both of those conditions are impossible to fulfill. Number one, there was no possibility of an Erev on Erev Shabbos because it was Rishus HaRabim. And number two, it was not Osrim Zelzeh because we're not talking about a Chatzer, we're talking about a Rishus HaRabim Mamish. Is there for Lokolshke? So, Hocha Diboy, Li Eruv HaMiesvo, Lo Matzim Arvi, in other words, in addition to the absence of Osrim Zelze Erev Shabbos, you're also absent a possibility of an Erev. So it's even more far removed from Bittur Rishus. Bittur Rishus is coming as a substitute for an Erev if you didn't make the Erev. But here in this case, there wouldn't have been a possibility of an Erev, because the status of this area between the two batim is not a chotzer, it's a Rishus Rabbim, it has no mechitza. So the Kachi Rishus Rabbim goes straight through between these two houses. Kiti Boilach, but where is my suffix, says Rav Chisda? Aliba demandi Omar, Yesh Bittur Rishus Michotz L'Chotz, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that the Bnei Chotzer Achas can be Mavata the Rishus to the Bnei Chotzer Asmucha, if there's an opening between them. And they could be matir tiltul michotzer lechotzer. And that's true even in the case of two chatzeros, which means einam osrim zel zeh. Or now we could have a suffix. Why, hasam? Where does Rabbi Yochanan validate a bitul rishus? That's the boy la ruve be'esmol motzi la ruve. Even though it's ein osrim zel zeh, but they could have set up a mechitza. I'm sorry, they could have set up an Eruv Chatzeros between one Chatz and the other. So you have two independent Chatzeros, but if they want to allow carrying through the Pesach between one Chatz and the other, they could make an Eruv on Eruv Shabbos. Is therefore Bitulei Nami Motzi Mevatli. Rabbi Yochanan recognizes the validity of Bittur Rishus as a fallback position to replace the Eruv, just like the Eruv could be Matir Tiltal from one Rishus to the other, from one Chatz to the other, so too Bittur Rishus could also, in event that there was no Eruv, substitute for the Eruv to allow carrying from one Chatz to the other. Aval Hacha, but in this case, going into Shabbos, lo motzi ma'arvim, yes, well, there was no possibility of an Eruv, is Bituli Nami lo mevatel. The whole institution of a Bittur Rishus, is as a fallback position to substitute for an Eruv. But in this case, they couldn't have possibly made an Erev through Rishus HaRabim. O Dilma Lo Shna. Or should we say the following? That it makes no difference. Why? Because in the case where Rabbi Yochanan validates Bittur Rishus, even though there's no Osrim Zal there, but there's a possibility of an Erev. And in an event that there was no Eruv, they could be Mevatel, one Chatzer to another Chatzer. Again, emphasizing the fact that even though one Chatzer does not generate any Iser on the Chatzer Smucha, and each Chatzer independently has a Heter Tiltul, it might require an Eruv, but a Heter Tiltul. So let's say that here also, Yuchu levatel mi bayis el bayis acher. They could be mevatel one bayis to the other. Ah, you'll ask me, Erev Shabbos, could they have made an Erev? No, it was impossible to make an Erev because it was Rosh Hashanah Beinayim. But we see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he drops the condition of Osrim Zelzen, and in the case of two Chatzeros, he validates a Bittur Rishus. So maybe here, he would also be lenient and allow for Bittur Rishus, and it's irrelevant to whether or not they could have made an Eruv. In the first side, L'chumra, that Bittur Rishus would not operate here, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's because even though Bittur Rishus doesn't require Osrim Zelzeh, but it requires the possibility of an Eruv. In the second side, maybe Rabbi Yochanan would cut the umbilical cord on both of these conditions. He doesn't need Osrim Zedzeh in order to allow for Bittur Rishus. He doesn't need Motzi LaRuve. And even in the case of Lo Motzi LaRuve, if now you have two people who are in a position where one, they're sharing a chotzer, one of them could be Mavata's Rishus, and he's Masalik himself in such a way that he's no longer sharing that chotzer. So Rav Sheshes responds to is the Ein Mevatlin. In other words, that although Rav Yochanan drops the requirement of Osrim Zelzeh, and he allows for Bittur Rishus in the case of two Chatzeros, and one Chatzer can be Mevatl its Rishus to the other Chatzer, that's only because there's a possibility of an Erev between them. And if the Erev wasn't made, then Bitter Rishus will substitute for the Erev. But in this case, where on Erev Shabbos they had a Rishus Rabbim going through the two Batim, and there was therefore no possibility of an Erev, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that here Ein Yecholim Levatel, they can only be Mevatel in a case, in a scenario where they could have set up an Erev between them on Erev Shabbos, and now, in the absence of an Erev, we're going to recognize this enterprise called Bitter Rishus to be Matir Tiltul as if there were an Erev, but only because they could have made an Erev. And here, in our case, they couldn't have possibly set up an Erev because, as we said before, it's a Rishus Rab. So that's question number one and answer number one in this encounter between Rav Chisda and Rav Shesus. And now we're going to go on to question number two. I just want to point out here that everything that we said is based on Rashi. That the reason why Ein Mevatlin is because, in Rav Shesus's answer to Rav Chisda's question, is because we are lacking two conditions. Number one, ein osrim zal zeh b'knisas haShabbos. Number two, ein b'neim din eruv b'neim on erev Shabbos. The implication is that Rav Shesus would recognize bitul rishus if you had one of the two conditions. If either it would be osrim zal zeh, or if there was a possibility of setting up an Erev, then Bitter Rishus would be operative. However, although that's Shita's Rashi, the Meiri writes that it's not that Ein Mevatlim, according to Rav Sheshes, is because Ein Osrim Zel Zeh Me Esmol, Din Bittel, the validity of Bittel would apply gam b'makom she'ein osrim zel zeh, sharei l'deya zu mevatle michotzer l'chotzer. Now we're going according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that if you have two independent chatzeros, nevertheless there is such a thing as Bittel Rishus, even though it's ein osrim zel zeh. Hatam she mevatlim is because of the impossibility of an Eruv, that Bittel only applies where an Eruv was shaya. So what that means is that according to the Meiri, there's one Tanai that's absolute, that must be met, and that's in order for Bittul to be an option, and that is Shiyah B'neim Toras Eruv. So according to Rashi, we have two possibilities. It would be either be Osum Zelzeh or Yesh B'neim Din Eruv, but even the absence of Yesh B'neim Din Eruv, if it would be Osum Zelzeh, that condition alone would generate a Bittul Rishus, that would be valid. But according to the Meiri, no. There's one absolute condition that Rav Sheshes is establishing here, and it's got to be Yesh Beinam Din Eruv. If there's no Din Eruv, no possibility of an Eruv, then there's no Din of Bittul Rishus, and it would not be sufficient to say Osrim Zal Zeh. Okay, now I want to give a little introduction to Rav Chisda's second question that he addressed to Rav Sheshes. Back on Daf Samachem in Beis, we had a machlokes about a case where you have a chotzer that is shared by two Jews and a goy. And they set up an Eruv on Erev Shabbos, and the goy was not there. He wasn't available. So therefore their Eruv is valid, because the partnership of the goy in the chatzer undermines the Eruv only if he's available. Now, in the middle of Shabbos, the goy comes back to the chatzer. And at this point, he invalidates the Eruv. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Socher mimenu, we will try to set up a rental agreement in which the guy will agree to give up his rights to the chatzer. Again, if you can only get the guy to agree. And says Rabbi Yochanan, even though the Eruv Chatzeros between these two Jews is batel, once the guy returns, nevertheless, they could be mevatel rishus zeh lazeh. So there's a two-step process which will allow them to carry from their homes out into the chatzer, even after the guy returns in the middle of Shabbos. Number one, the guy will agree to schirus, and number two, there will be mevatel rishus zeh lazeh. That was the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that schirus is not valid, is not meaningful here. When the guy shows up in the middle of Shabbos, even if they would get him to agree to a schirus, that's not going to be enough to allow the Jews to carry out from their homes into the chatzer. And the reason for that is because once the Eruv is invalid when the guy shows up, then Bittul Rishus is no longer an option. Once the Eruv is gone, there's no way that you could be matir tiltul from the batim into the chatzer. And Bittul Rishusam is not a valid entity. In other words, the only time, according to Shmuel, that Bittul Rishus is valid is in a case of Bnei HaChotzer HaOsrim Zal Zeh. And if the Erev was not made, then it could be Matir through Bittul Rishus. But in this case, where the Eruv is batel, then Bittul Rishus is not an option. So now Rav Chisda asks the following question. What happens in a case where the guy was there on Erev Shabbos in the Chatzer, they did not rent his rights to the Chatzer, lo sachru bimenu, they did not make an Eruv, and then meis hanochri b'Shabbos, the guy dies on Shabbos. Mahu. Can there be a bittul rishus zeh lazeh? And that means that there's no need for schirus because the guy is gone. Says Rav Chisda, again analyzing the study asafik. Aliva demand the Omer, if I go like Rav Yochanan, who holds sochrim, that if a guy comes and he shows up in the middle of Shabbos, then we could rent out his rights to the chotzer, and then be mevatel lebnei chotzer could be mevatlim zelazeh is loti boilcha. I have a kalvachomer that certainly in this case where the nochri died, bittul rishus would certainly be a good mechanical method. Why? What's my kalvachomer? Hashta, in a case where the guy comes in the middle of Shabbos, tarti avdinon. Number one, when the guy comes, we're going to rent out his rights to the chutz. And number two, we will be mevatel arishus. And two things were required in order to be matir tiltul. In our case, where the guy dies, chada, all we need is one. We don't need schirus because he's gone. All we need is bittul rishus. Is me boy? Would I have any suffix about it? If Rabbi Yochanan validates a double effort where we have to, number one, do a schirus from the guy, and number two, afterwards we do a bittul rishus, how much more so would he validate where we only need one of those two activities, one of those two pa'ulos? All I need is bittul rishus. I don't need to be socher the rights of the chatz, because he's gone already, the nochri. Elakiti boilach, my sofek is aliba demandi omar, according to Shmuel, who holds that ain't sochrin. If the guy shows up on Shabbos, we don't rent out his rishus because bittul doesn't work according to Shmuel. Right? Because once the Erev is gone, Shmuel says that the bittul rishus is not an option. So here I have a suffix. Perhaps Tarte Yehuda lo avdinon, hachada avdinon. Perhaps Shmuel would say that to allow for both schiris and bittul rishus, that we're not going to recognize. That's already too far-fetched. But chada avdinon, here we don't need schiris, all we need is bittul rishus. Perhaps Shmuel would validate bittul rishus, o dilma lo shna. Or shall we say that nevertheless they cannot be mevatel their rishus because they cannot make an eruv. Right? In a case where they cannot make an eruv, there's no possibility of bittul rishus. Just to read to you the beer, he says, Ein zeh shone bekach shetzrichim lasos rak dover echot. The fact that you've dropped the ball and the requirement of schirus is not relevant. Afkan, even though all you need is bittul rishus, einam yichol levatel b'shabbos. And why is that so? Me'achas shebeknisas ha-shabbos, lo hayomoel eruv lahatir sachotzer. Right, they didn't rent out the chotzer from the guy, whatever rights he has in the chotzer, and therefore the eruv would have been an impossibility. And since the eruv would have been impossible, therefore there's no bittul rishus. Yeah, but keep in mind, Rabosai, that while it's true that Shmuel holds that there's no bittul rishus in the case where there's no Erev, that's only because the guy was there Erev Shabbos. In that case where the guy was there Erev Shabbos, just one second. No, I'm sorry. I meant to say just the opposite. Sorry, it was a plita aspe. Where does Shmuel say that bittul rishus doesn't operate? That's because the guy was not there Erev Shabbos. When did the guy show up? On Shabbos. So mimonav shalt, there's no Erev. There was no Erev Shabbos. I'm sorry. Once again, I jumped the gun. Again, in what situation did Shmuel allow and validate bittul rishus? That's because the guy was there on Erev Shabbos. And there was a possibility of an Eruv. They didn't make the Eruv. And now, on Shabbos, bittul rishus will substitute for the Eruv. But here, we're talking about a case where the guy was there on Erev Shabbos. And if the guy was there on Erev Shabbos, there was a possibility of an Eruv by renting out the rights of the guy and then being mevatel rishus. Do you follow? Shmuel excludes bittul rishus in a case where the guy shows up on Shabbos. And the reason for that is mimonav shalt, there's no Erev. There couldn't have been an Erev on Erev Shabbos because we couldn't have done any schirus. The guy is not there. And not only that, we don't even need an Erev. If the guy's not there, that's even better. I don't have to say that. I don't have to go as far as to say there's no possibility of schirus. There's no need for an Eruv. So if there's no need for an Eruv when the guy shows up on Shabbos and Eruv is an impossibility, then bittul rishus is an impossibility according to Shmuel. But in our case, there was a possibility of an Eruv on Erev Shabbos, because the guy was alive and well, and he was present. In such a case, when there's no Eruv because they didn't make an Eruv, then bittul rishus might be a viable option, according to Shmuel. So let's read it again. Kiti boilach, I'll leave it there. Man Diyom, according to Shmuel, holds Ein Sochrin. There is no Bittul. Why? Because you would need both Schirus and Bittul. Tarti hu delav dinan, halchadi av dinan. But maybe here in this case, where all you need is bittul, the guy is dead, so you don't need schirus, maybe bittul would be an option. Odilma loshna, and in the loshna, he's implying an equation, an analogy between two cases. One case where the guy shows up on Shabbos, and another case where the guy dies on Shabbos, but he was there Erev Shabbos. Now, I understand full well that according to Shmuel, in a case where the guy shows up on Shabbos, there's no bitter reshus because there was never a possibility of an Erev. On Erev Shabbos, the guy was not available. We didn't need an Erev. And now when he shows up on Shabbos, there's no possibility of an Erev. Hence, there's no possibility of bitter reshus. But that's not equal to our case where the guy was there on Erev Shabbos and he died on Shabbos. Because if the guy was there on Erev Shabbos and he died on Shabbos, then in such a case there could have been a Schirus and therefore an Erev on Erev Shabbos. And if there was no Erev, then it could be that Bittur Reshus now becomes a viable option. And that's exactly, I think, what Rav Sheshes is going to respond to Rav Chisda. Omer le, ani omer mevatle. Then in this case, Shmuel would agree that they can mevatle reshus, zel azet to be matir, the use of the chatzer. And this is not similar to the case of a guy who shows up on the middle of Shabbos. Because if the guy shows up in the middle of Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, there's no such entity. There's no enterprise of Erev, but here the guy was there on Erev Shabbos, and they could have made an Erev. And how could they have made an Erev? They could have done Schirus with the guy, and then they could have made an Erev. And then they would have been Mutter L'shtamish B'chatzer. And the guy never died, right? So there's no need for Schirus, and all we need is Bittur Reshus. Because again, Erev Shabbos, there would have been a possibility of an Erev, because the guy was there. How would the Erev would have been viable if we would have just done a Schirus with the guy? Ella what? We're not going to combine Schirus with Bittur Reshus. That's already tactic. That's already too much to ask. That you build a Bittur Reshus on top of a Schirus. But now that the guy died, we don't need a Schirus, and we go straight away to Bittur Reshus. Maybe in the case where the guy shows up on Shabbos, Shmuel says there's no possibility of Bittur Reshus because there was no Erev on Erev Shabbos. Because the guy wasn't available. He only showed up on Shabbos. So there was never a possibility of an Erev. Now he shows up on Shabbos, and you want to set up a Schirus and then a Bittur Reshus. In the absence of a possibility of an Eruv on Erev Shabbos, then there is no Schirus. I'm sorry, there is no Bittur Reshus. But in this case, A, on Erev Shabbos, the guy was available, and therefore there was a possibility of Schirus and therefore an Eruv. And B, when he dies on Shabbos, we don't need Schirus anymore, and all we need is Bittur Reshus. We only found that Shmuel disqualifies Bittur Reshus in a case where you need Schirus and then Bittur Reshus, when the guy shows up on Shabbos. But when the guy dies and there's no need for Schirus, then Bittur Reshus would be enough. That's the way Rashi understands this sugi. Rav Hamnuna Omar. Now it doesn't say Rav Hamnuna because these were contemporaries. Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda were contemporaries of Hamnuna, so they called him Hamnuna by his first name. They didn't call him Rav Hamnuna. He says Ein Mevatel. And what does it mean? That, yeah, you're telling me that since the guy was alive and present on Erev Shabbos, the Erev would have been possible. No. The Erev would be impossible if the guy is there on Erev Shabbos. It would only be possible to set up a Schirus. And the Dira Sagoy, when he's there on Erev Shabbos, generates an Isur, which would require that they do a Schirus to get rid of the Goy in order to set up the Erev. And whenever the Erev in and of itself is not meaningful, meaning that you need an Erev plus Schirus, then Bitur Rishus is not meaningful. So therefore, according to Rav Hemnuna, to the same extent that Shmuel excludes Bitur Rishus, in the case where the Goy shows up on Shabbos, and in that case, why? Because you would need, number one, to remove the Goy by achieving Schirus. And even if you'll tell me, well, on Erev Shabbos, he didn't have to remove the Goy because the Goy wasn't available, but Adarava, since the Goy wasn't available, there was no possibility of an Erev. Had the Goy been available, we would need Schirus and then an Erev. So don't talk to me about an Erev when the Erev itself is predicated on Schirus. So you're telling me now, in our case, the guy was there on Erev Shabbos, alive and well. Then he died on Shabbos. So you want to tell me, well, Bitur Rishus is going to work on Shabbos because an Erev would have been possible on Erev Shabbos. Yeah, an Erev would have been possible on Erev Shabbos, but only after Schirus. So you need the Schirus in order to set up an Erev. And from Shmuel's perspective, says Rav Hemnuna, that's not considered a real serious possibility of an Erev. Because that Erev would only be optional, would only be valid if and when the Schirus was implemented. That's how Rashi learns the sugya. Now Tosis has a problem. He says, according to Rashi, Rav Hemnuna would say that whenever there's a guy in the chotzer, even if he's there on Erev Shabbos, you cannot be mevatel the rishus for this chotzer, because the Erev itself would not be valid since the guy is there on Erev Shabbos and you need a schirus. However, the Gemara says on Daf Samech Vav, without even doubting it, that if the guy is there on Erev Shabbos, then even Shmuel agrees you could be mevatel the rishus. According to Rashi's Pshat Rav Hemnuna, Rav Hemnuna is now against the Gemara that we had earlier, and he's holding that even if the guy is there on Erev Shabbos, you cannot be mevatel rishus because you would need the schirus in order to set up an Erev. The possibility of the Erev would only be predicated on the schirus. The Tosfos answers that Gemara earlier reflects the shita of Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes holds that there is bitul rishus. In the case, let's say, for example, our case where the guy was not available on Erev Shabbos, he dies on Shabbos, all you need is bitul rishus, you don't need schirus. And Rav Sheshes would hold that if the guy was there on Erev Shabbos and you could achieve schirus, then you could achieve an Eruv, and therefore, on Shabbos, you could do a Bitul Rishus. Okay. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. So we're finished with the two questions that Rav Chizda asked Rav Sheshes and the answers. And now we have a statement with regard to Diras Nochri in a Chatzer Shebemovri. So we know, I mean, this is like the basics of Erev Chatzeros, that if there's a guy who shares Dira in the Chatzer, then in such a case, it's impossible to make an Erev Chatzeros, unless it's Chirus, right? What happens if the guy has his entry, his opening into the chotzer, but he has a back entry, a back Pesach? So he has two ways of entering and exiting from his house. Yeshlo Pesach Nosaf. We should add the word Nosaf here for clarification. In addition to the Pesach into the chotzer, he has an alternate way of leaving his chatzer. I'm sorry, of leaving his bias. Now, again, normally you would say, well, look, he has from his house a Pesach that opens into the Chatzah. So he's sharing the Chatzah with the other Jewish people, and that would invalidate the possibility of an Eruv. Says Shmuel, but if this additional Pesach is Arba al Arba Pasuach Lebika, he says the following, that I'm just trying to think of a word I could use. Let me just see, just to convey the message here. If you have two openings, two psachim, what we want to determine is which one is primary and which one is secondary. And in a halachic sense, the secondary one is like batel. Meaning, if I can convince myself that this guy would rather use a different Pesach than the Pesach that opens up to the common Mavri, which is shared with the other Jews, then that Pesach into the Mavri, or into the Chatzer, is completely batel. And that's what Shmuel wants to achieve here. He's got a very small Pesach, let's call it in the back of his house. It's only 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. But it opens up into a bika. Bika is an area that has fields in it. So it's like opens up into a very, very open area with a lot of airspace. We would call it a karmelis in halachic terms, but that's not relevant to us now. Now, when the larger, merchandise comes in, let's say, you know, the camels are carrying merchandise, and there are cabins, you know, that are full with merchandise, so they will deliver all that merchandise into the Pesach HaChotzer. Right, so let's say that Mr. Jones has an order, a shipment of merchandise. That merchandise will be delivered to his Pesach HaChotzer, because the Pesach of the Chotzer is very large, very wide. And yet, says Shmuel, that Pesach, leading into the Chotzer that he shares with other occupants, which are the Jewish people, is not existent. Halachically, I mean to say. And therefore, afilu Machnis u'motzi gmalim u'kronos kol hayom kulo derech mavui, meaning through the Pesach that opens into the chotzer from his house, which the chotzer opens into a mavui, is ein oser al b'nei mavui. In other words, the other Jews in the chotzer could set up an eruv, and the ownership rights of the guy to use that chotzer for these major deliveries that he uses is not going to block and undermine the eruv. My timer. I mean, after all, that seems counterintuitive. I mean, all of his merchandise is being delivered in this Pesach HaMavui. So why is that Pesach HaMavui completely null and void as secondary because of the existence of this clinical, this little opening that ends up in a bika? And the Gemara answers, my taima, bipsichta dimiyached le, Be'ahu nichole. Now, demiyachedli means the following. This Pesach, on the other side of his house, that opens up into a field, or a large area of fields, is private. Whereas the Pesach into the Mavui is public, meaning everyone goes through this Chatzer into the Mavui. So when he goes out into the Chatzer from that Pesach, he's really entering into a chatzah that's common to other people. And they will there, you know, therefore go through the chatzah, the common chatzah, out into the mav. So the first advantage of that small Pesach that opens in from the back into the bikkah is that it's private. That's called demiyached le. In Hebrew, it's called Miyuchad Rak Lo. Then, the Meiri adds another element. The Gemara says, Vahi Nichale. What is Nichale? It means it's somehow, there's some advantage, it's more comfortable for him to go out through that smaller Pesach. And the answer is, says the Meiri, Shom Yeshlo Yoser Avir. As soon as he squeezes himself through this small opening, right? I don't mean that literally, but I mean it's a pretty narrow opening. It's only 4 tefachim. You know, it's enough for him to get his two shoulders by. But he breathes the air. There's like open air. We call it luft. He's got a wide open area. Whereas the mavui is a smaller area that's common to everyone. All the chatzeros, you know, spill into the mavui. And now, we want to know, where does this man live? Where's his dira? Remember, like we said before, if the guy wasn't there on Erev Shabbos, he doesn't have dira, then the Jews can make an Erev. Here too. Where is his dira? Where is he living? Well, he's not living out in the mavui. He's living in the bikkah. And the chiddush is that even though from a merchandise point of view, in terms of economics and business, he's really using the, you know, that's where all the deliveries come through, this more expanded opening into the mavui, but nevertheless, in terms of his own private dira, in other words, his enjoyment of living, he would rather, you know, on a personal level, go through the smaller opening on the back of his house, that opens up into a makom racha of Yoser, to a wider open area that has good air, and that's the bikkah, that opens up into the bikkah. So let me read to you a summary of the Meiri. He says, Afshe mishtamish b'pesach ha-movui l'tashmishim gedolim shel gmalim u'kronos, even though certainly he gets more use out of the opening into the movui, as far as the merchandise that's being carried and delivered by the camels and the various wagons. The Afsha Pesach Pasuch Lebikah Eino Pesach Gomur Yeshlo Rak Arbot Tvachim Al Arbot Tvachim Mikol Makom. Nevertheless, Bevadei Stam Hadvarim Shenoach Lo Lotzeis Bioso Pesach Hamyuchad Lo Levado. We can assume, unless we know otherwise, that it's more comfortable for him to go out through the small opening that is his own private entrance or exit. Af sheyesh biyitzia derech Pesach ze ktsas omel yoser. It's a little bit more of a squeeze, of a push. It's only 4 tefachim on 4 tefachim. Me'asher yot lotzeis bepesach sheyesh lo bo shutfin. V'ritzono hayo lishtamish chak bepesach pasuch lebikah. If he had his choice, his druthers, he would rather go through the Pesach that leads into the Bikkah. Rak machmash eino gadol, but because of its small nature, eino mishtamisham l'chol tashmishav, he can't do everything there, so the merchandise will not fit in there, will not go in and out. It's like when you call the sabalim here, you know, the movers, they have to measure the doorways to make sure that the fridge will get in and out. So the fridge will not fit through this Pesach into the Bikkah, so he cannot do all his tashmishim with that Pesach. But holchim achar ritzono, but we look at his will, and that's going to be koveh, which is the Pesach ha'ikri shalo, which is his primary Pesach. V'hu ha'pesach ha'pasuch l'biko, v'lo ha'pesach ha'pasuch l'mavu. And that's the chiddush here of Shmuel. So now the two Jews who share that chatzer or that mavui are able to make an eruv or shituv mavos, if you will, and they can discount and ignore the fact that the guy has equal rights to that chatzer, because he the guy has another pesach which becomes the ikar dira, the ikar tashmishim, because that's where he would want, that's where his heart is. Now, I was just thinking, maybe he's an artist, so he wants to go out there and paint a picture of nature, you know. And later on, we're going to try to figure out what would be the din in the case of Yisrael, who also has a second opening, a second entrance exit way, besides the one that leads into the chutz, into the mav. Because as we said, in the case of an Erev Chatzeros, you need every last member of the group to join in your Erev. But what happens if you have a member of the group, we'll call him a Yisachar, and Yisachar happens to have another exit, which is very narrow, but leads out into a Bika. Can we say, therefore, the same svar that we apply here to the God? I mean, that's going to be a sugya. So what we're up to now is Ibailahu. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. And we're on Daf Samach Zayin Amid Aleph, two lines up before the end of the Amud.